item, Fife is a secondary plan amendment at 2090 Henderson Highway under file SPA 3 of 2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item 6, a rezoning at 2090 Henderson Highway under file DAZ 234-2012. And item 7, a demolition at 2090 Henderson Highway under file Demo 167016-2012. And
We normally do it.
She's a strong clerk.
There you go. We're in Betty Nichols.
Thank you very much.
Just for the motion, I got to.
Yeah, exactly. Good evening.
Hi there.
Hi.
Give your names and addresses for the record.
Werner and Betty Neufeld. Live at 7 Urema Bay. Or, sorry, 9 Urema Bay. And we're talking about property of 2090 Henderson Highway.
Okay.
For rezoning and demolition permit and all the things on the agenda.
All right.
What we're proposing to do in a property is want to put a 12-unit condominium complex on there because there seems to be a need in the area of a higher-end condo unit by higher-end people. I want to move out of larger homes and downsize a bit and also go away for the winter, and they just want to simplify their life a bit. And we're also doing it because we want to live in one of the units. Now, we've done a pre-application to different city departments, and they've all come back positive, including Parks and Rec, who are in favor of it for vandalism purposes and that. And the house that's sitting on there now has been vandalized already in the last month and a half. And it just seems to be a good use of land because on one side, on the south side, that's green space. North side, we have one neighbor that's further down towards the river. Across Henderson, across the street from us, there's condominiums in there already. We're not looking to do that type. We're looking to make it fit in the neighborhood a little bit better, make it a little bit nicer looking than that. And benefits everybody as far as we're concerned, the city for property tax purposes, obviously. Us, because we want to move into one of the units, and that also, like I said before, there'll be more eyes in that area for vandalism and things like that. So that's all I have to say on that, I guess.
Okay. Any questions of the applicant? Okay. Thank you very much.
I guess just the one thing we wanted to bring up with the report that we got from Michael Pill about the requirement for the 6.04 meters for future widening of Henderson. Just want clarification, I guess, on that matter.
Okay.
Going to be required.
Kim, if you want to respond, sure.
Well, our Public Works Department obviously has an interest in property acquisition. You see two properties to the north. There is an application, I'm not sure when, but they've taken a similar widening, and it's really their, I want to use the word opportunity, but it's their opportunity to acquire extra right-of-way for future improvements to Henderson Highway.
And where does that start from?
So that would increase the setback requirements? Or? I guess we're not really quite sure what that's doing.
Mm-hmm. In terms of setback requirements, the provision in the zoning bylaw reads, if it's the result of the city taking, then the bylaw requirements, for front yard, are not so much waived but not applied. However, I would note, now I know we've had conversations about this before, from a front yard perspective, a variance would be required, simply because there's a provision in the zoning bylaw that's called front yard alignment. And what that does, essentially, is it looks at the setbacks of the other residential properties on the block, and you're required to meet the average of it. So in this case, there are four other single-family properties to the north that are set back a considerable distance. So you'd be required to meet the average of that setback or apply for a variance to have that setback reduced.
Questions or comments? Great, thank you very much. Anybody whose name has not been called wishes to speak in support of this application? In support? In opposition, Cheryl, Daryl, and Riley Acost. Terry Erickson, 375 Melbourne? Yep, certainly. Are Daryl and Riley joining you as well, or?
They're just here.
Okay.
Can I
give those to the other clerk here?
My name is Cheryl Pekosh. I live at 2094 Henderson Highway.
Yep.
Good evening, Mr. Chairperson and respected council members. My name is Cheryl Pekosh, and as I said, I live at 2094 Henderson Highway with my husband, Daryl, and two boys, Riley, 11, and Caden, 8. We live at the property next door and to the north of 2090 Henderson, and we are devastated by the proposal to build townhouses on that property. The negative impact this proposal has had on the mental health of our family has been significant. The proposal of townhouse units on this narrow and insufficient strip of land is also something that we've never imagined we would have to contend with. We'd like to address a few areas with arguments opposing the rezoning of this land and the proposed project, and it is my hope that members of council will sincerely hear what the longtime residents and caregivers of the land along the river have to say, regardless of any preconceived ideas that you may have in terms of land development. We will share with you why this proposed project in this area, and in particular on this piece of land, does not fit and does not work, and that it is unfair for you to be asked to support a proposal that does not even include a site plan. This is not a made-to-fit order at 2094 Henderson Highway, as the planner's report would suggest. Design will not make up for the lack of space for this project. First, though, committee council members, I'd like to share with you the personal impact this project would create. Daryl and I have lived at 2094 Henderson together for over 20 years, since we were married, and Daryl even longer. We started out in an old 640-square-foot cottage that didn't have proper insulation. We fixed it up and lived in it with a dream of renovating it someday. Later on, we had sewer and water put in, we built a garage, and then 9 years ago, we finally renovated our home into a space with a beautiful view of the property and the river. It has been a lifetime of financial sacrifice to stay there, but our love of the beautiful park space that we share with our neighbors and the changing seasons with the river as the focal point has compelled us to stay there. Our family has enjoyed the beauty and privacy of our property. Skating rinks have been built for many games of hockey, tobogganing off the deck and down the slope of the backyard, and later some beginner snowboarding have been favorite activities in the winter. Learning to ride bikes on the long driveway, but don't go past the big oak tree in the front. Gardening together, raking leaves together, family barbecues down by the river. A lifetime of family and a love and respect of the river. Now the privacy that we enjoy as a family is being threatened by the proposal of a 12-unit, three-story wall that would be on top of us. Southern exposure completely blocked, a huge impact on our home and yard. View of the park gone, traffic and safety concerns, increased noise level, sharing backyard space with strangers. Right now, I'm relatively comfortable to let my children play in our yard, and that would most certainly change. Fencing is a small gesture to allow for what would still amount to grossly inadequate privacy. The mental well-being of our family has been negatively affected and would no doubt increase with these changes. Our home is a major investment for us. A serious concern is what the value of our home would become. A strip of townhouses with no buffer zone, would most definitely create a drastic decline in value to our home. Any leveling of land toward the river would create serious issues and detriment to our yard space in terms of drainage issues, etc. Members of Council, what about the consideration for longtime residents who have invested in their home, beautified it, paid their taxes? Why should someone be allowed to come into a neighborhood, challenge what exists there and what the city has planned for it to be, and change the character of the land to the detriment of the land and to others? This yard at 2090 has over the years been described as a paradise due to our dear former neighbor, Mr. Burr, who was an exceptional gardener. The yard has declined since it has been sold. To build these townhouses, this land would be stripped of its beautiful, mature trees, and this building would be out of line with what exists in this area. As I spoke with my neighbors in the area, it is clear that they want to protect what exists, and they have signed a petition to oppose this project. It's interesting that Mr. Pill states in his report regarding rezoning on page 15, and I quote, he says that there's a similar development in a narrow lot directly across Henderson Highway, albeit that they are one story in height. And that's the condos that were made mention of already. As I spoke to the residents of those condos, they shared similar comments. One resident stated that the condos should never have been built, referring to the awkwardness and traffic flow in the driveway. Another man referred to the condos as a nightmare in terms of traffic getting in and out of the driveway. A number of these residents expressed concern over the possibility of intensified traffic and safety concerns when turning into properties if there were townhouse units across the street at 2090 Henderson Highway that would accommodate up to 25 vehicles. Another woman at this particular development across the street referred to the inadequate amount of room to back on, out onto their allotted driveway space, and that cars have hit the fence along the property line, requiring sections of it to be replaced. It should be noted that this development has 35 feet from the front of the garage door to a fence at the property line, 35 feet to back out of a garage while turning to orient themselves to exit the property. This amounts to 13 more feet of allotted backup space than would exist at 2090 Henderson, which would only be able to accommodate 7 meters or approximately 22 feet to do the same, and that was stated by the city planner. Just for comparison's sake, our property at 2094 has a garage that is situated sideways on our property, the only way we could have a garage on a narrow lot. We have 22 feet of driveway space to back out of our garage while turning. Our cedar trees at the property line have been very forgiving. They are nudged by vehicles on a regular basis and not due to poor driving skills. Add to the mix, Mom and Dad leaving for work at the same time, dear old grandpa driving in to pick up our son Riley to take him to school. And logistically, it's awkward and requires some maneuvering around each other. But we are a single family doing this. I invite you all to drive into our driveway, make the maneuvers to park in our garage, and then back out to leave. But please don't hit the trees on the property line as you do this. If you were to take me up on this, you would experience the reality of the situation that would exist at 2090 Henderson, which would have a fence at the property line along with some nice coniferous trees as described in the planner's report. And that even lessens the driveway space even more. Please keep in mind that there will be other families coming and going too. And hopefully no one will be coming to visit at the same time. Mr. Chairman and Council members, please consider multiple families coming and going with no space to back out properly and with ease. Please think about a fence that is more likely to be backed into than the property across the street that has at least 13 more feet of driveway space. And at 2090 Henderson Highway, my children are on the other side of the fence. Mr. Chairman, Council members, we respectfully ask you to deny the applications to rezone and amend the city plan for our area on the basis that this proposed project doesn't fit the area and that the land is truly inadequate for this project. We appeal to you in the interest of fairness on a personal level and challenge you to think about what if it was your investment or your family that would lose all that you valued and held dear. Members of Council, we submit that it is unfair for you to be asked to consider this proposal with no actual site plan. We ask you to please do the math and see what many others see, that design cannot make up for the logistical nightmare of this proposal. Thank you for your time and consideration.
So, good evening, Mr. Chairperson, members of Council. My name is Carrie Erickson. I'm related to Cheryl and Daryl Pekosh. I'm here to express opposition to this project on Daryl's behalf in terms of some information that further demonstrates how the proposed project at 2090 Henderson Highway is not compatible with the narrow lot. We feel there is necessity to highlight the problematic realities that are not being addressed through a proper site plan, as no site plan has been submitted for your consideration. Upon visiting the city planner to ask for a copy of the site plan, Daryl was instead shown a footprint diagram of the proposed 12 units for the property at 2090 Henderson Highway. The units began near the highway and formed a solid wall that seemed to end approximately 147 feet from the riverbank. Daryl asked the city planner about the 20 feet of frontage that would now belong to the City of Winnipeg for future use, and that came up when the Neufeld spoke, as is required with new development, and as was the case at 2110 Henderson Highway, Mr. Rob Dick's property, and at 2106 Henderson Highway, Steve and Verna Kodak's property. No response was given. The 20-foot allowance would set the start of a first townhouse yet further back. Has Rivers and Streams been consulted to determine how far a structure needs to be situated from the river? And the riverbank at 2090 Henderson has not even been stabilized. In the frontage, there also needs to be space allocated for garbage and recycling pickup. A line of 12 refuse containers and 12 recycling containers leading up to the entrance of the park. With a solid wall of garage doors that span approximately 300 plus feet and a driveway that is stated to be 22 to 23 feet wide, and this is not including the fence and the coniferous trees, there is absolutely no place for homeowners or visitors to turn around. Where will the visitor parking be located? At the end of the line nearest the river, a concrete pad where there was once beautiful park space, or maybe at the park next door,
so that no space for park visitors is limited, so that space for park visitors is limited. And if a visitor were to park sideways or parallel along a garage door, what about fire lane regulations? How would fire trucks or emergency crew enter the property? Mr. Chairman, members of council, while the property at 2090 Henderson Highway is stated to be 23,430 square feet, and on paper, a proposal has been made to ask for allowance for 12 units of townhouse, in reality, the narrowness of the property and the restrictions in place for protection of the river make this project incompatible with the land. We respectfully request that you deny the application to rezone this property for the purpose of the townhouse project. The property at 2090 Henderson Highway is zoned residential single family, and it is a beautiful property for this purpose. We ask that you deny the request to amend the North Henderson Second Highway Secondary Plan. The plan for this area has been successful for many years with residents who have maintained and cared for these properties. Thank you for your respectful consideration.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Janet Schindel?
Yes. No, I don't think I'm Mr. Chairman.
My name is Ronald Leskey. I'm a resident on the other side of the creek. And among our opposition group, we've agreed to a certain order.
Oh.
And it's my turn if we're going to do the game plan.
Why not? Sorry, it's Ron Oleski?
Ron Oleski, O-L-E-S-K-Y.
At 2018 Henderson.
That's correct.
Sure, come on down.
Thank you, sir. I have one visual aid consisting of the multiple listing of the subject property.
You present that to the clerk here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It tends to confirm a few details about it. Mr. Chairman, my wife and I reside at 2018 Henderson. It's a few doors down from the subject property. And we live in a stretch of homes that runs along the side of the river. I believe you're acquainted with it.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little more. From 2000 Henderson, that's the home immediately north of the nursing home at 1970, there is what I would submit as an established cluster collection of homes running from 2000 Henderson Highway to Glenway and Eastwood. It's probably about 30, 35 homes in there. That's about 3/4 of a kilometer. Those are single residential homes without interruption. Now, it comes very easily for me to say, upon hearing this, that to put up a 3-story block of condos running, it has to run 300 feet, Mr. Chairman, from Henderson to the riverbank. There's only about 275 feet to play with. From Mr. Buer's old survey I have from 1954 to the end of his house. That's where the bank starts. I can't see any building going on there, but what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, is that 3-story block of condos running 300 feet is a massive departure from the neighborhood pattern of single-family homes. It's an intrusion to the neighbors, it's an intrusion to the users of the park, it's an intrusion to the neighborhood. You will observe, Mr. Chairman, that the street is laid out, is planned for single-family homes and not for a condo project. Now, expressed in another way, putting 12 families with 25 cars into an area designed for one family with perhaps one or two cars is as out of line as it could possibly be with our neighborhood. There's also, Mr. Chairman, for anyone who's driven down Henderson and tried to take a left turn, going home and the like, there's quite a serious traffic issue. And I think this would become very serious with an additional 25 cars going into this property on a regular basis. Now, it's safe enough to make a right-hand turn. Drive, drive, drive. Right-hand turn comes up, just nice and easy. But making a left-hand turn as you go north, you put on your signal well in advance, 200 yards in advance. Come to your point of entry, stop. Cars sometimes will stop behind you, but they also have other ideas, Mr. Chairman. They see the opportunity to pass, but there's cars traveling in the curb lane. And then what you run into, they run into, is a conflict. I'm aware of at least one accident that occurred, and someone's going to speak about that here today as well. That situation can only worsen with the advent of 25 cars coming to that narrow lot. There is no infrastructure there to handle it. The street isn't wide enough. There's no sort of protective alleyway to... I'm trying to think creatively about this. It's not there. It's a dangerous situation. Our area, Mr. Chairman, I would submit has been preserved as single-family residential as a result of the deliberate planning of the city and single-family zoning by the city. This intention, as you know, can be seen in the North Henderson Secondary Plan. It's express words. Existing single-family neighborhoods should be protected from intrusion of multiple family uses. We ask that that long-established housing pattern, the protection of the plan, continue, Mr. Chairman. Now, this plan, we say, has been successful. Bear in mind, you've got the physical structure there. And consider that after that personal care home was set up in 1993, all of those homes from 2000 Henderson, right down the track, have remained constant, unchanged. And they're all well established, and they're all in good condition. Homeowners tend to stay in that area for a long time, Mr. Chairman. They maintain their homes and more. We've lived at 2018 Henderson for 10 years. Every year we have a project, sometimes not fulfilled. But the previous owner, L.C. Popiel, lived there for 40 years, carefully maintained every inch of that property. Next door, 2016, we have Nancy Leschuk. She's been there for 40 years, constantly. Grounds are constantly and meticulously cared for. And going north from us to Carlson's at 2020, he's got renos on the go every minute. There's always something being improved there. North of Mr. Carlson, the park, and then Mr. Buer at 2019. He lived there for 60 years. I was 7 years old then. His home and property was under constant care. He was a hydro engineer. And he was rather an innovator, Mr. Chairman. Before geothermal heating became a publicly known concept, Mr. Buer installed it on that property. We have the MLS document, and you have it as well. And it confirms those details. Beyond Mr. Buer is Mr. and Mrs. Pekosh, from whom you've heard. They've owned their home in excess of 25 years. Substantial rentals have gone into that. And next door is Gary and Heather Kaczynski. They're here. Gary is here. And beyond Gary is Steve Kotick, who is also here. And you also have the petition. Mr. Chairman and Councillors, this is a mature neighborhood of single-family homes that does not require revitalization by way of a condo. We submit to you that there's no change to make to change a successful city plan, changing what we know to be successful by putting in a structure of 12 condos and garages for 25 cars on a narrow lot. The proposed structure, we say, is out of line with the neighborhood. And I don't know how it could possibly meet a variance application or any requirements of the average of the neighboring three homes. Mrs. Pekosh's home is set back the same distance as Mr. Buer's home, which was set back at 245 feet. Now, there's no way that person could possibly have that front yard with a 300-foot-long condo structure. It's not possible. A few more points, Mr. Chairman. There's been reference to the complete communities handbook. What I would like to say is that it does not call for the disturbance of existing neighborhoods. It provides for their maintenance and preservation. Page 78, if this document is at hand to you or within your ability to access it, you will see at page 78 as to mature communities, it provides that there are limited opportunities for infill intensification, and the focus should be on neighborhood maintenance. Page 85, it encourages conservation and upgrading of existing housing. It's talking about maintaining and improving existing housing. There is reference to infill housing, of course, but this is not an infill situation. We can't say this is a dilapidated house. If it's been vandalized because no one has been in there. It's just been left vacant. This home is a perfectly good home and would be a treasure to own. There's no reason to take it down. Page 78 of that handbook talks about says development in mature areas, as this is, should be confined to areas of decline, not present here. 82, it's calling for giving respect, maintaining existing neighborhood character. It's calling for giving respect to neighborhood character. In our view, this does not include a three-story, 300-foot-long condo. The handbook is not calling for taking neighborhoods apart. It's saying keep them going. They're good. We know they're good. There's reference in the material before you to the transit-oriented handbook. It suggests a benefit to the bus. We know that. But the page 2 tells us that the average householder not using the bus spends 19% of his budget. The bus users spend 9%. Well, this is good information, but we'd also ask you to observe, Mr. Chairman, that this particular condo is geared, no pun intended here, to the car user and not the bus user. I just have a couple more points. The unit provides for 11 two-car garages and 1 3-car garage, making for a total of 25 in and out. It may be observed, Mr. Chairman, that bus users are not likely to purchase a condo with a 2 or 3-car garage. Are they going to rent it out or keep the cars there? I don't think so. Mr. Chairman, we respectfully submit that this condo project is not a plausible one for the area on this narrow lot. There's no good reason been put forward to change the area of the plan. Putting 12 families there in an area and a lot designed for one family and perhaps 2 cars doesn't make sense, and it's not compatible with our neighborhood. There are adverse effects to the amenities. Irregular development, sticking out like a sore thumb. Use safety, there's traffic dangers, and there's the inconvenience of the adjoining property, Mrs. Pekosh and company. We ask that these applications for the condo project be denied. Those are my comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Oleski. Any questions for the delegation? Okay, hear none. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks for your patience tonight.
Thank you.
Janet Schindel. Oh, sorry. Who do you want next?
Gary. Sorry.
Gary, you're up. This is Gary Kaczynski, yes. 2019 Henderson.
2098. Yeah.
All right, sir.
Good evening, Council and Mr. Chairman. My wife, Heather, gives her regrets. She flew this morning and could not be here. She wanted to be very badly. So I live in a very, one-story bungalow at 2098 Henderson, 2 properties north of 2098. We've lived there for 3 years, and we were lucky enough to get married in our backyard in 2010. And the previous owner we bought off, he lived there for over 40 years, and he got married in the backyard. And I got a real kick out of him. He was a hydro guy, too. Anyway, we feel that the erection of a 2.5 or 3-story or 2-story is way out of line with the existing neighborhood. Because a study, and I don't even have to do this study, but if someone would want to do this study, a study would prove that such a building would give me and my wife in our property, we would lose sunlight in our house for almost 7 months because we're in a bungalow, 1-story, near where the sun is in the south. You can put up a wall there anytime, some plywood. It's exactly what would happen. We have no sun. We'd be living in dark. Now, that would affect our quality of life very greatly. And Our concern is also for the natural habitat, which would be grossly altered, like the conservation of the park, the trees that border the park in 2090. And who really knows what the creek bed and creek mouth would be all affected would be like. Not to mention we love wildlife, and we're pretty sure that the wildlife that frequent this area would be devastated. And I don't know, water streams and lakes department should be contacted to do a study to see if there'd be any adverse effect of such a change of property. Because losing 12 mature trees would affect so many things. What's been said already about the traffic on Henderson, such a busy and steady place during AM and PM rush hour, I believe a traffic study should be done to determine the effect of 12 new residents or more coming and going on Henderson. Especially the crosswalk, a park, a bus there. It's such a busy area. In closing, my wife and I really strongly oppose this type of development going in our neighborhood. That's about all I have to say.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Koshinski? Okay, thank you very much, sir. Who's next?
Steve.
Sorry, Ben. We've got Steve Kotick. Come on down.
Come on down. Okay. Well, good evening, Council, committee members. My name is Steve Kotick. I reside at 2106 Henderson Highway. That is the residence that is north of the applicant's. It's actually a residence that is four properties north of the applicant's property. As noted, I am here to speak in opposition to the applicant's request for the rezoning of the subject property. I am a longtime resident of this area, approximately 25 years. Most of my neighbors, which I know well, are also longtime residents of the area. Bill Buer, the former owner of the applicant's property, was a good friend of mine for 25 years. Bill's property was among the best kept in the neighborhood. Bill's yard had huge, beautiful trees, many of them great elms, over 50 and 60 feet high. Our neighborhood area can well be defined as an area of stability as outlined in the City of Winnipeg's Complete Communities documents. This area is appropriately zoned R1 single family. As a point of interest, I am the resident that had my car totaled turning into my driveway some years ago. So I just want to speak to that 25 additional cars making that left-hand turn off of Henderson Highway in front of the crosswalk is a very, very dangerous situation. The reason my car was totaled is even though I would put my signal on to make that left-hand turn well before the crosswalk, well before I even came to Bunn's Creek, cars would either zigzag or what happened is they put the trunk of my car virtually into my back seat. Now, I suffered whiplash, and fortunately the people in the other car were not seriously hurt. But this project with 25 additional cars making that left-hand turn, I could suggest to you, is a very, very dangerous situation. But let me continue. My property, when I had bought it, was one of the largest along North Henderson Highway District. In 1985, I subdivided my property, and there was a reference made to when I subdivided the property. I gave up 20 feet of front yard to the city for widening of Henderson Highway. And I did that for the two lots that were created. 72.5-foot lot created for my existing house, and a 72.5-foot lot created for another single-family residential home, which is now occupied by my immediate neighbor to the south, which is Rob Lucky of RE developments. When I did the subdivision, I had met with my neighbors prior to doing the subdivision. I told them that what I was looking to do was subdivide this large lot into single-family residential lots. And it was my intent to maintain the integrity of the neighborhood as single-family, and keeping with the existing zoning bylaws. I had no opposition to this, as I was maintaining the integrity of the neighborhood. This proposal does not maintain the integrity of our neighborhood. It's a grotesque overuse of a very small property. The applicant's request for rezoning, if granted by this committee, would have extreme negative and irreversible ramifications, and I'm going to explain this, to the city, to the citizens of North Kildonan and the community at large. That might seem like a bold statement, but I'll explain. In regards to this application, I want to speak about one issue that I find most concerning. I am sure others here in opposition will and have already spoken about their many additional concerns. But the concern that I have is the impact this project would have on Bunns Creek Parkway, specifically the park area located directly south of this applicant's property. Now, Bunns Creek Parkway is land that was put away in perpetuity for the benefit of the community at large. It is a 23-acre lineal parkway. I'm going to refer to the area that we live in. I want to refer to Section 4, Areas of Stability, page 81 of the Complete Communities document, which states, ensure the existing public open spaces meet the neighborhood's current and future requirements. And this is speaking to the park. Direction 6 from A City That Works reads as follows. Plan for sustainable and connected recreation and leisure infrastructure. The enabling strategies. Sustain the amount of available space for the community recreation with a priority for multiple use and intergenerational opportunities. The applicant's proposed condo project takes away from any maximizing use and sustainability of the available park space. The proposed project would take away the community's walkability in this park and any other multiple use or intergenerational opportunities that the park may offer because of its location alone. The proposed condos are to be located, get this, approximately 8 feet away from the south boundary of this park. 8 feet. How comfortable would any citizen feel using that area of the park directly in front of the large windows of these 12 condos? What I've seen in that park before, because right now there's a 12-foot gray cedar fence there. There's walking clubs that come and use Bunns Creek Parkways. The city of Winnipeg has advertised Bunns Creek Parkway as one of the feature of walkways in the city. They use it as a staging area. There's a parking lot there, a gravel parking lot. The walkers come, they park their cars, and they congregate directly in front of what would be these condos. So in effect, when this continues to happen, they'll be congregating right in front of the living room windows of these condos. Not very comfortable doing that. The other thing that has happened in the area in the past, the 25 years that I've lived there, is schools, different organizations, they come and use that park. They park in that parkway. There's a picnic table there now. They have barbecues. The kids have three-legged races, whatever. They throw frisbees. They use the park. this is going to be taken away from the use of these people when they find themselves doing this 8 feet away from someone's living room window. Because I will suggest they don't feel very comfortable playing in someone's front yard 8 feet away from their windows. Not very comfortable at all. The sheer presence of these condos would also create undue influence on the Parks Board to utilize this area. They would not be placing any more picnic tables or any other amenities for multiple use for intergenerational opportunities. How comfortable would you be, Chairman Browati, or you, Councillor Wyatt, or you, Councillor Steen, having a picnic with your family in this park, 8 feet away from the large windows of these condo residents? I'll suggest you would not feel comfortable at all. So I'll further suggest you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't use that area of the park. The practical loss of this green space will impact the citizens of North Kildonan and the community large in perpetuity. In perpetuity. But most disturbing is how this would impact the generations to come. Impact your children and their children. Mr. Chairman, councillors, we ask you for your wisdom when considering this application, and we ask you to outright reject the application on the grounds of the directives cited both in Complete Communities and the City That Works documents. The negative impact of this application is far too great, and it affects the community at large. We cannot afford to have this green space, that is there for the whole community and generations to come to use, to be annexed by 12 condo owners by the sheer location of the building. And that's what would in fact happen. It would be as if they annexed it. People would stay away because you'd be in somebody's front yard. You'd be 8 feet away from their front windows. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Kotick?
Okay, thank you.
We're down to the last two. I've got a Charles and a Janet. Charles and Janet. Charles, you've been waiting patiently. Why don't you come on up?
I'm not going to make a comment because I don't have enough information.
Okay.
I'm against it in general.
Fair enough.
You don't change residential areas, period.
All right.
Once you change it, you never go back.
Okay. Thanks, Charles. Okay, fair enough. Jenna, come on up.
I just want to give you, these are pictures of my dad's property.
My name is Janet Schindel. I am the daughter of Bill Buer, who lived in the house for 60 plus years. I lived in the house for 26 years. 2090 Henderson, yeah. I live at 88 Southwell Road. My mother passed away 15 years ago, and my dad continued to maintain the property to all that he could until about 5 years ago when he was diagnosed with cancer. And my husband and I and my family had to take care of the property for the last 5 years. So we hired landscapers because my father could not maintain the property. We hired housekeepers to help keep the house up. This was my dad's love of his life. And he fought all his life to prevent ever someone coming in and developing this property in this manner. Mm-hmm. He was all for development, a new home, something like that, but certainly not putting in this development. I'm going to get back onto what I was saying. A little bit of family history regarding this property. My parents bought the home in 1953. They bought the home because it was like a park. The homes along Henderson Highway were beautiful, and they found the home to be just like park setting, so just if they were by a cottage. The home was basic, park-like in appearance. Dad did all the landscaping and flower beds. He planted every tree in that yard. We have pictures of the house when he moved in 1953, and the only tree in the yard was the large elm tree that's in the front. He planted all the trees. He landscaped the yard. He made flower beds. There are probably 1,000 lilies that are in the yard itself right now. He built and cared for the property. He loved it. The home was redone in the late 70s. He had put in a heat pump, as was mentioned earlier. It was the first heat pump in the city. He monitored it, and the city monitored it, and the Manitoba Hydro monitored it. He fought all his life on living on Henderson Highway to prevent development of condos. Over the years, it was discussed among the neighbors that they would never sell. If they did sell, they would sell as a group so that one nice unit could be built. So it was discussed that maybe three or four would get together, but that never happened. Unfortunately, Dad never was able to do that, and we never had the option to not sell the property. We had to sell the property because we couldn't keep it up. We were given the impression by the people that made the offer on the house, the Neufelds, that they had no intention on keeping the home, and we were okay with that. We knew that the home probably would be taken down and that they had planned to build a new home on the property. We're very excited about that because we thought there would be a new development on the property with the new home. We were very misled by this family. We would never have sold to them knowing that they had the intentions of building a condominium on this property. We would still be owning that property. Just comments to what they had said earlier. They said there's been vandalism in the home. My dad lived there for 60 years. There was never, ever vandalism in that home until the home became vacant in May of 2012. The upkeep of the yard was maintained up until the day my father had died. I even raked the yard before we sold the house on May 1st. River stabilization. My dad had lost 50 feet of his land in the 60 years that he lived there. And so if the condominium was to go in, that needs to be considered, obviously. The city-owned park came to my father when they did the land stabilization of Bunce Creek Park, and they asked if they could come onto my dad's land to help do the stabilization. Dad agreed to that. They did a little bit of stabilization into my dad's property, and then my father asked, could he stabilize the rest of his? There was 30 feet that wasn't stabilized, or 40 feet. The city said they would charge him $10,000 to do that. Dad said, absolutely not. I've given you my land. You've had bulldozers on my property, and you can't even give me some stabilization. So stabilization of that lower part of the land has to happen if any kind of development was to happen. And about car accidents, my sister about 20 years ago had a serious car accident turning into the driveway, and she was unable to work for a year after that car accident. So I can't imagine having 20 families going out to work in the morning at the same time waiting to get turn that left turn or turn that right turn onto Henderson Highway. My dad loved this place. I love this place. And to think that a condo was to go onto this property would be a disservice to my parents and to myself, as well as all to the neighbors. It's a peaceful, enjoyable area. And to take away that green space jeopardizes the integrity of the land, including waterways. This is all indespicable. I implore you to not support this motion of rezoning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I hope you took some time to look at the pictures of the beautiful property. But unfortunately, the property doesn't look like that now because this family does not maintain it. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much. Okay.
Do you want the pictures back?
Yeah.
I do. Is anybody whose name has not been called who wishes to speak in opposition to this? In opposition? Anybody whose name has not been called who wishes to speak or register for information? For information? We'll call back the applicant then, Werner Neufeld and Betty Neufeld. Want to respond to anything?
Okay, in response to some of the concerns that some of you have, Cheryl and Daryl, I'm not taking away your river view or your yard, as you state. Some of the trees on 2090 Henderson, they've fallen over because they're rotten. as you can, I'm sure you've seen some of yourself. In the last windstorm, a big one fell over into the park.
I want to just point out that you're addressing the committee here. You can certainly respond to the comments. You need to respond to the comments you made, but the comments are addressed to the committee.
It's a natural thing to want to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah. By this.
And some of the other concerns was the driveway is not wide enough. Well, it's 26 feet wide coming out of the garage, and it's 28 to 29 feet from the garage to the property line, so I'm not sure how much wider that needs to be done. Garbage containers in the front, well, they're going to be in the garage for garbage day. Everybody's containers. There's many cars turning left or right onto Henderson. I was in a bad car accident at Oakland and Henderson, so I got rear-ended and run over. I mean, unfortunately, car accidents are going to happen. And I'm not saying that they will, but car accidents happen everywhere.
I guess we don't feel that. Henderson Highway is built for traffic, and adding 25 more cars, or if that's the number, certainly it's built to withstand that, and there was some comments from the traffic department that they didn't have any concerns about it.
And the home right now, like when we initially bought it, our intent was to move into it, fix it up and move, but the foundation's leaking. There's water in the basement that's been taken over by mice in the basement. And the traps were all there when we bought it. I just didn't realize how bad. We can go on and on about the house. I mean,
well, that's not,
here nor there, but it's not worth to put money into it at this point. As for the height of the condo, it's not going to be...
It probably wouldn't be any higher than any of the existing trees, and the trees block the...
And Cheryl and Daryl's house is pretty all the same height. We're not changing the creek or the riverbank, as some people seem to insinuate here.
I mean, we're bringing some more people into an area that does have a really nice established park. Walkways are there for people to enjoy, and our proposal is to bring more people into the area to make better use of those established parks and not disturb maybe an undeveloped area.
Like, we're not taking away green space from the park. I mean, we want to live in this condo unit ourselves. And as for having a picnic 8 feet away from the building, well, first off, that's the parking lot. And the picnic table's not a further north, closer to, or further south towards the river, I believe. That's where the sort of meeting area is. And the living room, as somebody said, you know, you're going to be right at the living room. Well, it's not right at the living room. That's the back of the garage, the main floor. The living room is going to be on the second floor. So nobody's going to be right on in your residence, or you right in the park or whatever.
And we're still planning to maintain a nice area in the back for the residents of this condo to enjoy the river and the creek. I mean, that's what attracted us to the area to start with. And we think that's what will attract people to come and want to live there as well. We want to make it, you know, seating areas to enjoy the river and you know, some recreation space for them there as well. We understand that this is a long-established neighborhood and people have been there a long time and can appreciate that any change is often not welcome, but we have to understand that things do change and progress happens, and that is life, I guess. And that's why we're, you know, don't feel, I mean, yes, it's all single family homes, but they're very, very large lots, and the space maybe isn't being utilized to its fullest.
Order. All right, any questions for Betty and Warner then? Okay, thank you very much. I should have some questions, I guess, now for the administration on this one. Did Public Works raise any specific safety concerns in regards to the traffic component here?
No, did they? No, they did not. They were circulated on this, and they did not express concerns.
A number of people brought up the North Henderson secondary plan. When was that last updated?
It was originally introduced in 1976, I believe, mid-70s.
Yeah.
There's been a number of amendments ever since. Most recently, I think it was 1995. There's a map of amendments I included in the secondary plan amendment report.
Is there a substitute after this one?
I included a map of all the previous amendments. The most recent one, yes, was 1995.
Okay. Has there been, since the original 1976 plan and the revisions, have they added more multifamily along Henderson Highway?
Yeah, no, they certainly have. How Henderson Highway has evolved over time, and you can see it actually on the aerial photo that's on the cover of the Henderson Highway plan, almost from where Chief Pegwas is today, it was almost exclusively nothing but single-family properties. Now you go along Henderson Highway on the west side, around the areas around McIver and Strood, it largely is multifamily. So over time, this has been how Henderson Highway is evolving.
Has the Waterways Branch already reviewed this particular application? Did they have any concerns or require any additional stabilization work?
The Waterways engineers will, I don't know if they have reviewed it yet, or if there's a requirement. They will.
Be a requirement.
Yes, certainly. And if there's riverbank stabilization work to be done, that will be required of the applicant.
In terms of the height of the condominium, I mean, my understanding was it was going to be towards the south end of towards the south property line, or 8 feet from the property line, I think was mentioned. What are the impacts of shadows and on the neighboring properties?
Height certainly is a concern. The applicants have addressed it in part by trying to locate it along the south part of the property, okay, as opposed to the north. One other consideration I'd like to bring up, as you know, we recommended plan approval as a condition of approval.
Yes.
This wasn't included in the planner's report, but probably should have, is the condition regarding the 45-degree angular plane, which is a condition that's been applied in other multifamily developments throughout the city, with the intention being, to better explain it, this condition refers to essentially you start 6 feet up from the property line and draw a 45-degree angular plane heading towards the building, with the requirement being that all building is included within that plane. That's a best practice included in the Urban Planning Division's infill guidelines for multifamily developments. It's also a very common condition found in design guidelines for multifamily developments in many cities across North America. It's generally regarded as a fairly best practice. So that's a possible way to deal with the...
In our Winnipeg complete communities, mature neighborhoods, do we see changes typically in housing types? Is this something that's common, or, a mature neighborhood basically stay exactly the same forever?
Yeah, no, sure, that's a good point. Complete communities designates a number of different areas throughout the city. There are areas, that are defined as areas of stability, where it anticipates sort of more moderate change. But what's important to note from the complete community's perspective is that Henderson Highway is noted as what's called a regional mixed-use corridor. And these sorts of corridors were identified in the plan as being ideal for opportunities for intensification, where compatible with the neighborhood, of course. But the rationale being there's already existing infrastructure that exists along Henderson Highway, such as transit and existing road, that there are certainly advantages in intensifying these parts of the city. I would also note Henderson Highway is not the only regional mixed use corridor. It also includes Pembina Highway, sure, Portage Avenue, all throughout the city.
One of the comments from one of the presenters today was they found it hard to believe that when you're building double garages and such, that people are not going to use transit, that it's not transit-oriented development in any way, shape, or form. Henderson Highway has heavy transit presence. I mean, the 11 Glenway, the 40 express buses. Is it not? Is it unreasonable to fathom that, you know, some people would be leaving their car at homes at times to take transit?
I don't think so. I think it's all about choice. This provides an opportunity. I mean, maybe you don't take the bus absolutely everywhere, but it certainly provides a really viable option to take transit. Maybe people moving into this development wouldn't be regular transit users, but they're moving now on Harrison Highway, and they realize there's an opportunity to take more of their regular trips via transit.
Okay. Any other questions for the public service on this one? Councillor White, if you wouldn't mind taking the chair,
sure.
I'll move some motions here, I think, on this.
Okay.
So first of all, on the secondary plan amendment.
Item number five.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.